Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Heartland, Michigan, and earned a BBA in Business Management and Marketing from Northwood University. Since 1995, she's been the founder and president of Artisan Tile, Inc., which is an industry leader in tile and terrazzo and is one of the largest tile specialty contractors in the Midwest. And since 2019, she's been the chair of the Northwood University Board of Trustees. That's tall cotton. Her name, Dr. Jennifer Panning. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dr. Jennifer Panning. Doctor, welcome, an honor to have you.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood, your mom and your dad?
Of course. I grew up in Heartland, Michigan, just a small little sleepy town, and my parents moved out there when after my mom's parents had given them some property. And so my dad and his three brothers, they built the house that we grew up in, and everyone thought they were crazy because they were moving west of Telegraph Road, coming from a big Italian family. They didn't know how they were going to get to the market, and my parents just really, they really liked the area and the community, and we grew up on 7 or 8 acres with three lakes down the street, big yard to play softball and family parties.
What's the biggest thing, Jennifer, you learned from Mom? And what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Well, my sister and I were talking not that long ago, and we agreed that we got our will from our mom and our heart from our dad. And my mom was just very, she was a good mother. She always liked to keep us active. And she really, really taught us that never to give up. And my dad was just always, he was so loving and so kind, and he always taught us the importance of family. And he did a lot to make sure that we understood that growing up, and that having three sisters, that there was nobody that would ever love us more than our sisters.
We're talking to Jennifer Panning, who's the founder and president of Artisan Tile, Inc. Growing up, were you a sales lady? Were you a business entrepreneur as a kid?
Well, I did have a few lemonade stands, but I really just liked to play and have a good time. And never really thought much about owning my own business. I grew up in a home where my dad worked, and he ran a business, and I never wanted to have anything to do with owning my own business. I wanted to go to work for a big company, and never in a million years did I think that I would be doing what I'm doing today.
All right. You got a BBA in Business Management and Marketing from Northwood University that you still have a little relationship with, which we'll talk about later. But then from 92 to 94, you were a marketing assistant for Moritz Marketing, an Ohio-based marketing company. Tell us about that chapter.
So I had my husband was transferred to Toledo, Ohio, And I had left a job working for an auto parts distributor that I took when I graduated from Northwood. So Meritz was a big marketing firm. They did automotive marketing research. So I went to work there and had a nice job in a nice office with a nice cubicle and crunching a lot of numbers, and it just was not what I thought I had always wanted to do. Didn't end up being what I wanted to do. So when I was there one day, and I remember that day distinctly, I had called my dad and told him I thought I wanted to learn the tile business. And so my dad happened to be in town that day. He was picking up some material for a job. So we met for a coffee, and I told him what I was thinking, and then we started to have regular meetings, like once a week, where we would meet, and I would ask him all of these questions. I was still relatively new out of college, and I wanted to write a business plan, and I wanted to know all of these things that you had to put into your business plan. So, and surprisingly, he was able to give me those answers without ever even looking anything up. He knew what it was. So I formatted all of that information into a spreadsheet and put together a business plan. And it wasn't long after that my dad helped me to incorporate and start Artisan Tile.
We're talking to Jennifer Panning. That was in 1995. It'd be interesting to see what that business plan said. But I guarantee that dog didn't hunt back then, okay? And what's worked has been amazing. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Dr. Jennifer Panning, who in 1995 started Artisan Tile, Inc. Jennifer, how and why? Some of your family members said, you're crazy, just like moving west to Telegraph. Mm-hmm. You're crazy.
Well, I think the why is because of this epiphany I had one day where I reached out to my dad and I just thought, I want to learn the tile business. I something I never thought I would want to do, but I respected and appreciated what my dad had done all of the years. And I didn't know initially how much I would enjoy it, but I thought it was something that would be better suited for me, and why not take the opportunity to learn from my dad what had provided for our family and all of the other families that worked for him. Why not take advantage of that opportunity and see what he could teach me? And the how is a little bit interesting, because when I started the business, I actually borrowed the money from my husband's 401k to fund the business.
How much?
$20,000. Mm. And that was a lot of money to me then. And I didn't realize how quickly it would go and how many paychecks it would actually make. So for the longest time, I didn't pay myself. It was nearly a year before I took my first paycheck. So I wanted to make sure that our bills were paid on time and that our employees were paid. My dad didn't take a paycheck either for several months, just to help us get started. We borrowed a vehicle from somebody, and there were some really, really challenging times, and there were nights actually where I remember praying and wondering how we were going to make payroll, and something, you know, the timing of something would just work out where we would get paid on something that we weren't expecting. I might go pick up a check instead of waiting for for it to come in the mail.
Help them write the check.
Yes. Yep.
How did you win your first contract?
Well, the first contract we did was a Farmer Jack store in Brighton, Michigan, and my dad had a contact with the company in Ohio. It was headquartered in Holland, Ohio, which is where I had lived initially before I moved to Brighton. And so I went to their office and introduced myself and told them that we put a bid together on the project and we wanted to do the tile work.
We drove down here together for the taping. Mm-hmm. And we actually drove downtown. Every other building we passed, oh, we worked on that building. We worked on that building, all right? Maybe every building. So you've worked on Shinola Hotel, Firekeepers, the North Terminal of the airport, MSU, General Motors, World Trade Center, Little Caesars. But when you won the airport project, how'd you tell your dad?
Well, I told my dad, I said, Dad, we're getting called in on the airport, which means that we submitted our bid and they wanted to talk to us and to do an interview. And I remember telling my dad that, and he said, oh boy, what did we mess up? So he was so positive and encouraging about the project. There was a lot of people that told me that we would fail, the project was too big. And when the general contractor had reached out to us about doing a post-bid interview, my dad had suggested that we fly to them. They were headquartered in Indiana. So, which I would have never thought to do. So my dad and myself and our estimator, we flew down and met with the contractor. And when we left, we knew that we had the job if we wanted the job. So I consulted with some colleagues that were in the industry in other parts of the country, and talked with some people in the area. I had some competitors who were much older, who told me horror stories about projects that they had done like that and how they had to sleep on bags of thinset in the building in order to get the project done on time. And then I had other people telling me that that if you grow too quickly, that could put you out of business. And so I spent some careful time. I took some of the concepts that I had learned at Northwood as far as engaging other people and really evaluated the project. And I remembered talking with my dad, and he said, because I was concerned about would we have the manpower to do the job and would we have the resources. And he said, you know, if you don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. And they're not any better than you are. So, and that's really how my dad raised us, was it was never, he had four girls, and there was never anything that we couldn't do. There was no talk of that. He just showed us things. It didn't matter that the boys' baseball team in Heartland had fields and the girls' softball teams did not have fields. My dad got a group of people together and went and built the softball fields for the girls so that we could have a place to play.
We're talking to Jennifer Panning. When we come back, we're going to ask her about another little project she did Little Caesars Arena. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Jennifer Panning. Since 1995, she's been the founder and president of Artisan Tile, Inc. If you want to learn more, www.artisan, ArtisanTileInc.com. ArtisanTileInc.com. Okay, Little Caesars Arena. 250,000 square foot building. 85 different types of tile in that place. 7 different levels. How'd you do it?
One piece of tile at a time. We started on one level and worked our way around. And it's funny to even hear myself say that, because I remember when we did the airport, when we started the airport, and talking with my dad about it, and he just said, I said, Dad, how are we going to do this? It's over a mile of tile. And he said, we're going to start on one end, and we're going to keep tiling. So that's what we did. It was probably one of our most challenging projects because of the complexity and all of the different types of tile and the change early on to add basketball to to the hockey arena. So we spent we spent a lot of time putting our bid together, and we do everything, you know, everything is technology driven, but I like to look at a physical drawing of each level of the building so that I can kind of walk through it and understand what the building entails. So we have a great team of people that work for us. Everyone in the office played an important part of that project, and you know, from the estimating to the ordering to the scheduling to the deliveries and then the actual installation of it. One of the things that people wouldn't know about that building is the fact that you do have, you know, 3 levels that are below ground, and there's a lot of tile in those spaces. So, and those are some of the fondest memories of being on that project, seeing those parts come together in the locker rooms and in the lounges for the players' wives and the dressing rooms for the artists when they come in to, you know, perform at a concert. So it's just a very complex building, and I'm logistically, just to get material around, although it's just a big oval, can be a challenge.
We're talking to Jennifer Panning, who has 40 to 50 employees at any time. When we walked into the Fisher building to do this taping, you saw a couple of pieces of tile that were cracked. That's the first thing you saw. You've been to St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican. With your eyes, what do you see when you go to St. Peter's?
Well, I was there with my sister, and I was just out of college, and just the magnificence of the space and the history and what it took to actually build that building, it always makes me think of how fortunate we are in these times to have the technology and the equipment to do what we do. And I remember being in the square there with my sister, and we could hardly talk because everything was so beautiful. And we felt the presence there, just a powerful presence in that space. And for the longest time, we didn't even talk. We just looked around at all of the artifacts and all of the beauty there.
All right, speaking of the Vatican, a lot of angels in the Vatican. God has sent you some angels.
Mm-hmm.
One was a man named Ben Maybach, and now a junior angel, his son Ryan. You and your team have done 100-plus projects with Barton Mello.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about Ben and Ryan Maybach.
Well, they have a very rich history and culture at their company, and they were instrumental in many of our successes. One of the first large projects that we did for them was at Oakland University, and it was a pool. They just have a great culture, and it's exemplified in the people that work there. I remember meeting Ryan the first time. He was coming out of college, and he was working on a project at Eastern Michigan, and we were doing the tile work in there. And I didn't really know who he was initially, but I had the utmost respect for him and his father when I learned who he was and the fact that he was going to learn the industry from the bottom up. And I think that's apparent in how they do business. My daughter had an opportunity to intern with Barton Mello one summer, and she learned a lot there. And just some of the little, some of the little things that they did in the office, which were very special to her, and welcoming and making people feel like a part of the family.
Barton Mello was started in 1924, so they're in their 99th year. Phenomenal place. All right. A female CEO president. Why is that an advantage?
Well, when I first started in the business, I would tell people that that I knew how to read directions. And so people would generally get a chuckle out of it because, you know, how men don't like to stop and ask for directions. I was never afraid to ask questions. So I think that women have a lot of gifts that can help them to succeed, and some of those are, you know, paying attention to details. We're sometimes more understanding and we're good listeners. But I think the biggest thing is just knowing that we're all working together. And I would always tell, our people that we all have to make a living, so let's make the most of it.
We're talking to Jennifer Panning. You go in her office, and in a very prominent place is a little plaque. And I quote, "I'm not bossy. I just know what you should be doing." Amen. Yes, dear. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible. Of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible. We're talking to Dr. Jennifer Panning, who earned a BBA in Business Management and Marketing from Northwood University, a special place in Midland.
It is.
And in 2019, you became the chair of Northwood University Board of Trustees. Wow. Tell us about Northwood University.
Well, Northwood is a very special place, and I didn't realize how much Northwood would mean to me while I was there. I only recently learned how much it means to me. When I made the decision to go to Northwood, I initially didn't want to go to college. I just wanted to study business. I wanted to study business and go to work in the business world. And my dad encouraged me to, he encouraged me to go to college, and he said, just try it out for a year and see how you like it. So when I found out a little bit about Northwood, the fact that it specializes in business and that the professors had taught in the industries that they were teaching, and that you could dive right in to your field of study and you didn't have to take a bunch of fluff classes like science and things I wasn't interested in, I thought it would be a good fit for me. There were small class sizes. I knew if I went to a big state school and followed my friends, I probably wouldn't take college as seriously as I should. And then I got a private donor scholarship. So that kind of sealed the deal for me, and I decided that's where I was going to go to. That's where I was going to go to college. So it wasn't until I left Northwood that I realized the foundation for good, solid business principles and life principles were ingrained in everything that we did there. We had a program called the OmniQuest program, where once a semester, we were on trimesters, the university would all read the same book. And they're just, I still have some of those books. So they were very, very forward thinking. And they talked a lot about free enterprise and limited government and the Judeo-Christian work ethic. And I wasn't really sure what all of that meant. But when I graduated, and then as I started a business, I realized how important all of those values were to not only running a business, but your everyday life. They also had an emphasis on women in business and business in the arts. And I thought it was kind of cool because I liked art and but again, I didn't put all of that together at a young age, how that influences you when you get older. And I recently attended for the first time an event that Northwood has called Distinguished Women. And they have been, that event started 52 years ago, or 53 years ago, the Distinguished Women. So we had this event in Midland, back in October, and I had the honor to make the opening toast, and I said how proud I was of my alma mater for recognizing 53 years ago that women were such an influential part of the business world, and that was before anyone had prompted them to do it, before there were any accolades for people making those types of promotions. And the other interesting part of that to me was, you know, Northwood is 60 years old, and that program, that awards, have been around for 53 years. We have another event that you're aware of called Outstanding Business Leaders, and that event was introduced 10 years after the Distinguished Women's event. So I just thought that that was pretty relevant when I connected all of those dots.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me, Jennifer, you've never been a distinguished woman honored as a distinguished?
I have never been to the event. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. You're the chair of the Board of Trustees of Northwood University. And a couple of the board members are named Dan DeVos, L. Zender, Jim Fabiano Jr., Sandy Schwartz, icons. When they're misdirected, and you say, I'm not bossy, I just know what you should be doing. How do you handle those situations where you've got these iconic business leaders?
Well, they are some of the finest people that I have met. And I have learned so much from all of them, and they're so gracious and generous that I am the one who feels fortunate to be associated with all of them and to have the privilege to serve the university and our board. So it is kind of funny when you think about it, because I look around the room and there are all of these wildly successful business leaders, and not just in the state, but across the country. And then there's this little Italian woman who talks with her hands and can get very passionate about principles and values. And so they're very accepting of me.
All right. You've held that position since 2019. You got another 3 years. What's the single biggest thing you've learned in that role as chair?
The single biggest thing I've learned is the importance of looking ahead and thinking about the future and not looking back. So that would be the most one of the biggest themes, I think, that comes from that group is they're always looking forward. They always praise the people that they're surrounded with and that support them in their businesses or at the university. Just a very, very positive energy.
All right. This is the last day of the year. Your dad, you've told stories about your dad 5-6 times about your late husband, Scott. On Easter Sunday, 2021, you lost your dad, Ralph Tenaglia. All right? The day before Thanksgiving, 2021, you lost Scott. Those were the two loves of your life as far as males were concerned. If there's a listener tonight that's lost a dear one with these holiday times, what would you say to that listener, Jennifer?
That it's all about, or I would tell them that everyone grieves differently, and it's okay to grieve, but you have to look forward, and you have to count your blessings every day. And my dad, who was actually born on Christmas and died on Easter, was a very, very joyful man. And we were very close, and he would tell me that he didn't have any regrets and that every day was a gift. And it really is.
I had a mentor, Alonzo McDonald, that passed 3 years ago. Phenomenal human being. And one of the things he told me once was, life is like a roller coaster. The winners are the ones who keep climbing on the broken rungs of the ladder of life. What does that say to you?
I would say that that's exactly how you should live. And it's not always easy. And a lot of times you might try to figure things out and understand why things happen. And Scott actually died on Thanksgiving Day. And so my daughters, they actually, you know, they have a lot more questions when it comes to faith, although that they have a very strong faith. And I try to remind them that their dad, my husband, that he believed that the day you were born, God knew the day that you would die, and that we're not in control. And so it's not worth trying to put all your energy into understanding what God has planned for you, and that it's important to have faith. So, you know, you're going to have broken rungs, and you can't just give up, and you have to figure out how to keep moving up those rungs. And some days it will be hard, and then some days it won't be quite as hard.
Jennifer Panning, you're special. Thanks for all you do. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you.
And as we embark on a new year, thanks for listening. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.